بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الأفضل and this was followed by a major crisis. On the one end were those that had turned away, hostage, and there were those that refused to continue paying zakat. In the meanwhile, the Sahaba Ikram are deliberating as to what to be done. Because when the interior affairs are not right, then how can you go on to the external? How can you go to the outside? Within there is anarchy, apostasy, and a rebellion. The strife within. Now, the strife within, then your logic and your reason says that first sort the house out first, and then look at the outside. Because if the house is not sorted out, then what work are you going to do outside? It is a very challenging moment. In the meanwhile, the Sahaba Ikram, nearly all of them, were insisting on Umar radiallahu anhu, that Umar radiallahu anhu, on Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that she must not dispatch the army. Some armies were dispatched under the leadership of her, Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, and approximately all the Sahaba Ikram are unanimous that this army must not be dispatched. Because it's internal strife. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in no unclear terms, "Kun fuzu jaysha Usama." This army of Usama must be sent. And he himself had fastened the flag. And when he had fastened the flag himself, and he had instructed that this army must be sent out, then it doesn't behove Abu Bakr to call this army back. How can I cancel the command and the instruction of these loyalists? This thing was going on. Abu Bakr struck Umar radiallahu anhu on the chest, and he says, "Khawarun fil jahiliyati, jabbarun fil jahiliyati, khawarun fil Islam." In the days of ignorance, you were so brave, man full of valor. And now, in Islam, you're not showing any type of valor and no type of courage. And then he says, أَيَنْقُسُ الدِّينِ وَأَنَا حَيِّ. Can Islam ever be on the decrease? Can it ever go down whilst I'm alive? And then the third statement was more serious. He says, see, if you people are reluctant to move, then he called for his mount, he jumped onto the mount, got his sword, I'm leaving alone. Because Allah Ta'ala has guaranteed his assistance with me. When he said, "Inna Allaha ma'ana," I was the only person that was with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at that time on the safar of Hijr to Medina Munawwara. So I'm absolutely certain Allah Ta'ala's help is with me. I got no reservations for that. You want to come, come. You don't want to come, it's your business. But I'm leaving. At that point now, when they saw that Abu Bakr was so serious, so they said, "Shim seifak, wala tufji'na bi firaqik." That just sheath your sword and don't cause us grief or you're separating us. The reason left now and you separating us, how can we tolerate this? Now their minds open up that this is not a serious, not a casual thing. For a light thing, it has to be executed. Now you analyze this little story, anecdote, and look at the spirit of the Sahaba and more so of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. If there is a command of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it's taken with so much of care, so much of conviction, so much of certainty. No doubt about it, this is the way. So his heart has opened up absolutely complete that this has to be done. Now, the army is about to leave. Enlisted in the army is Umar radiallahu anhu. Usama ibn Zayd is the Amir. Enlisted in the army is Umar radiallahu anhu. Now look at protocol, look at etiquette, look at approach. Abu Bakr himself comes up to Usama and sits before him with respect. Like how you would sit in namaz, tashahud, he sits with him. Usama is only 17 years of age, fit to be Abu Bakr's grandson. Right? He is the Amir al-Imin. He is the best in the Ummah. But he recognizes the position of Usama, that this army's Amir is Usama. And being the army's Amir, I need to respect him. Now this has gone out of the Ummah. Ummah now, what's happened to the Ummah? Each one has an approach, my way or highway. And on account of that, you cry that there is no leadership, right? So one person came and told me, no, the Ummah doesn't have leadership. I said, no, he's got abundant leadership. We don't have fellowship. Right? What do you call it? Fellowship. Following. Yeah? We got the leadership, but we don't have fellowship. Imagine, people have come for namaz, right? And there are enough kuffars that can lead the namaz. But they are reluctant to put their hafiz in front. And they say, no, we've got no imam. But you've got enough imams here. Just choose the best and put him in front. But you yourself are not prepared to take instruction. No? Then how must he lead the namaz? See, the mindset has gone so off. How the mind is working now, just quote one incident that took place, right, somewhere. Like how you get wealthy estates, somewhere in Zululand, somewhere in New Zealand, Holland, Basutuland, you get all these things, right? So, one incident of one, real incident, right? So now, with an estate now, you've got the exclusive people living there. Now it's the time that they have to appoint an imam for their namaz. So, now because it's an estate, around the time of the appointment, about 10, 12 stars and some learned people, they are standing in the first row. So now, the boss will come from the back, like, today you lead the namaz. Alright, tomorrow you lead the namaz. After 3-4 days, he said, alright, this person is going to be the imam. The day that the appointment was announced, all those 10 are gone class. So, you see who's the leader. The leader is the boss. That imam is not the leader. So, those that have lined up in the first row, they lined up for what? Why they lined up? They lined up, they have relented for wealth. But then wealth made them a football. You blame the boss and you blame these people as well. You sold yourself for a few pence here and there, right? So right at the inception you sold yourself. So can these wealthy people have any confidence in your knowledge? Because they know, alright, we can manipulate, we can ask him to do what we please. Like in the appointment, we appointed the person. They all lined up as though they were queuing up for the job, right? And upon our appointment, they had settled, right? So they settled upon our appointment. So they're looking for the wealth. If they're looking for the wealth, then we will manipulate them, we'll maneuver them how we want. Then I ask you, if they're going to maneuver, is that going to be Islam? See, the world is going through a whole metamorphosis, whole upside down you're going, right? My mother used to say in very simple words, Aki dunya undi challenge. All is going, the whole world is going on. It's reversed, right? So, how it's working now, you know, when you look at politics, right, how it works. One is the consumer, we are consumers, right? We are the public, right? So we are at one level. Then you get the parliament or the government, right? So that's another level. So they'll be discussing something there and telling us something, right? An easy example, right? I got a peanut shop, right? And I need that thing to sell. Peanut I need to sell, right? So now I got an influence with the shop, right? I got peanuts, I'm doing this peanut, but I got an influence in your shop. So somehow I get you to buy that peanuts, right? So the relation between me and you will be, see, you sell so much for me and I will see you right like this. So much? You sell so much, then I'll give you a Corolla. And so much, then I'll give you a Merc. And so much, then I'll give you a Jag, right? So, this is between me and you, right? Now, you and the public, how you will work with the public, so you need to sell that volume. So you see, it's peanuts, it's food for thought, you know? Food for the brain. You must eat this thing here. You eat it, it becomes so strong, your mind will be so, be active in every way, you'll be very, very active. You're losing your manhood, you'll become a man, because, hey. So now, the government will, they will tell the consumer, right, this is what you need to do. Right. So the consumer feels, no, it's the right thing. In the meanwhile, the government will get some, help people on their side, see. They will see you right, and you speak for us. So they will speak, and those health people also speak. So that's the message they will give to the consumer. Consumer says, yeah, hey, this is good, man, because even the people in the health, they are saying that it's the right thing to take, so you must take this thing here. You see how they polish the thing. So that's the message the government gives to the consumer. Behind the scenes, I got a business with you. I got a business with you. If you sell so much, I'll see you right like this. And you sell so much, I'll see you right like this. So this is how the whole world is operating. We don't realize it. We look at the newspaper, Ukraine is doing this and that. All a show. The people that know it, it's just a show. There's some agenda behind the whole thing. That agenda that unravels afterwards. Not straight away. Right. But now, we get worked up. Hear the news, read the news, we get worked up. Right. But now, like this third force, I'm talking about the third force, they are to blame, then you are to be blamed as well. You'll ask, why am I to be blamed? You are to be blamed because you became a slave to their filth. The thing that was spewing out to you, you felt that's wahi, you left your wahi. You left the revelation, and what filth they were spewing out to you, you felt that that's the wahi. So they got a forum now, they got a chance to then shape your mind. See how they're shaping your mind. After some time, they shape your mind. You begin to think like them, you begin to reason like them, you begin to work like them, how they reason. How they want you to reason, they will make you to reason. So this is the whole, I'm just showing you an example how it happens. I'm not telling you from my pocket. This is what I know people that have studied the whole thing back and forth, they studied the whole thing over 30-40 years, this is not what they say. You will just see what's happening now, current. And this people are tracing news 40 years, 50 years, how it's planned, how it's worked out, how it's spewed out, how it's consumed, what happens, right? And I say, like the third force is to be blamed, you are to be blamed as well. Why do you leave all the way? You see, that the Muslims of the past, the only thing that influenced them was wahi. Has this been mentioned by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Has Allah Ta'ala spoken about this? What does Rasulullah say about this? How did the Sahaba Ikram apply this? So that was the thing that influenced and shaped their mind. So when that was the thing that shaped their mind and influenced their mind, no matter what, who said what, they were totally disconcerned. Totally disconcerned. But when we moved away from the wahi to what these people have to say, so now they got a chance now to shape our minds. So that brings you to the point, you know, about when I was just getting up in the morning, so Allah Akbar was a thought in my mind. You know, I've been speaking about this in the past also. The importance to get the mind right. What? To get the mind right. How to get the mind right? The mind must get right. Okay. So at the public forum, you know, how do you get the mind right? So someone may say, alright, listen to the bayan. Alright, we don't dispute about anybody's bayan. But the more accurate thing, you know, accurate, to get it on the head, right? What's the more accurate thing? The most accurate thing is to read those kitabs whose authors, whose writers, hearts have been soaked in the love of Allah Ta'ala. See, we like amateurs, right? Immature, the amateur, right? Those people's hearts were soaked, drowned in love. They acquired the taste. So now, that's the only forum that you can make the mind right. So now I'm noticing, it's my observation, right? Although I'm not myself active, I may excuse myself, but now I'm noticing that there's hardly any emphasis on the kitab reading of the masjid. 1-2 days, 3 days, they're just doing it, you know, slapdash, they're doing it, and they're not doing it like how it's supposed to be done. The kitab reading has to be done diligently, listen to it carefully. It wasn't by any person here. Some like a miracle man, you know, a man like a miracle man, and he had done something like that. When I say miracle man, I mean it really. So when Hazrat Shaykh Ahmad had written the kitab, Hujjat al-Masalik. So the Arabs, up till now, they bewildered an Indian, not an Arab, and what a masterpiece. We all, 10 people together, we can't do it. And this man won. Ace out, and he did such a kitab. So you look at his kitab, you know, the average alim, he will not complete reading all his kitabs. He's written so much, you know, that the average alim, he spends his life to read his kitab and study it properly. His life will end, so where you got the time from? He wrote a kitab, Juz'u Hajjatil Wida, in about 300 pages in exactly 24 hours. Now, that kitab is so authentic that nearly every library in madrasas have got it. It's so authentic and so reliable. Just one kitab of it, Juz'u Hajjatil Wida. And exactly 24 hours. So then you think, hey man, he must have had the knowledge of the references, the ibarats, where it is, to be able to print it so quickly, 300 pages, and got it done. That's a miracle, isn't it? So this type of people, this is the caliber of people who have written this kitab. Is this the appreciation we show to their kitabs? They were like the revivalists of this age. But their books have to be read diligently. In the masjid, ulama, no ulama, but we have to sit into the thing. And we can't be just doing it as a pastime, alright, I may just appear there so that my appearance may be counted. No, no. I need the thing. It's a different thing. I need the kitab. And I'll sit down there so people feel that the kitab is important. Just forget that thought. But I need the kitab. And I need to listen to it. And listen to every word. See, why did he say this? Why did he say this? Over a period of time, your minds get shaped. You know, you said, get your mind right. Ask yourself, is there any other way to get the mind right? In the present circumstance that we are in, is there any other way that you find that you can get your mind right? And like this kitab is read in the masjid, it has to be read at home as well. Right? There are different kitabs, like in the morning, read from Fazail al-Sadaqat. Read that. Fazail al-Amal. Right? Coming around Ramadan time, Fazail al-Ramadan, Hajj, etc. You're reading this thing here. Now, over a period of time, this thing shapes your mind. And if you don't allow that, then Ukraine will shape your mind. Russia, China, America, you're giving them to shape your mind. And because that news is juicy, you know, the way the news comes out, the bulletin comes out, a striking news, hot news. Right? Every day, every second, third day, hot news, latest. Right? And you read between the lines, Kiba Kedio, nothing inside. Very hot, but nothing in there. So we need to take this kitab very seriously, very seriously. Not lightly. In my opinion, even more than the talks. The talk and speaker is important, right? But he can't be at the level of other Shaykh Ahmad. He can't be at the level. So the importance that is supposed to be given to the kitab, in my opinion, is not being given. The reading it, not reading it, 5 minutes, 7 minutes, like I'm doing a favor, I'm doing it by diligently. And the whole idea is to get the mind right. And the mind can be right if you take it seriously. And then you take it seriously when you're doing it daily, that this has to be done. Like how the morning tea, that's the key to the mind, isn't it? If you don't take the tea then, magaj nahi chala, isn't it? The brains can't work. Doesn't work. So do it in the masjid and do it at home as well. Diligently, you know. Other Sheikh's kitabs, then Hazmat Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah's kitab, this is about it. So you're doing it and doing it diligently, right? What is needed? You study, see the elder of the house, he needs to study the book, right? What's needed now? What's more needed now, right? He looked at Fazail al-Amal, Fazail al-Sadaqat, in my house, what's the need now? So he studied it. He sees the contents, what's here, what's there, where's the weakness. He selected and read according to the need. Seeing what's the need. Everybody is after money, after money. Today's article was about wealth. Now dangerous that thing can be. It just spins your mind around. Your whole mind thinks differently. But now you read this article and say, hey, normally. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, as Hassan Basri wrote a letter to him, showing to him, impressing upon him, what is the world? Well then, that in my world, in my understanding, every line there, every word there, is more than gold. Not gold, more than gold. Every line. And we just take it lightly, simply. So what happens then? No amount of talim and bayan can affect you. You're taking it lightly. You're not giving it the seriousness. If you took it serious, a little bit of talib, but you took it very serious, then you see how quickly there's a revolution in your life. There's a change in your life. Otherwise you'll come, make one etikaf ko, another etikaf ko, it'll become just a routine. But if you take it serious, no, this is the words of Allah Ta'ala, Rasul-e-Paksas and Sahaba-i-Kiram, and pinned down by such a caliber, I must take it very serious. You took it very serious. Every day you're listening to it. Now, for the day you got something to think about, alright, this was Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, his achievements, what he did, his personal life, what it was like, and his achievements, what was it? Personal life, look at the achievement. Personal life, look at the achievement. Oh, you think about it very seriously. So if you are doing it diligently, listening to it, thinking about it carefully, right? You're giving yourself a chance to shape, to reshape. When you reshape, when the mind is shaped, right, then it has to go accordingly. Then it can't change. Hazrat Thami Sabrangi says that he and the principal of Darul Diyoban, Hafiz Ahmad, was a great Ali, but he was known as Hafiz Ahmad, was a son of Hazrat Qasim Naroti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So both of them were in Lahore at the station, right? And it was meals time, and they went into a hotel to have meals. Perhaps they carried their own food, and they had a place to, so they were asked to eat at that hotel. Be it as it may. So now, first is that we were discussing amongst ourselves that here you have to sit on a table and eat. But then they discussing now, these are like luminaries of the time. They're great people, very great people. Has written 1,000 kitabs. And his kitab everywhere they're reading it. At best, even non-Muslims are reading it. Even non-Muslims are reading it. And they're converting to Islam. He said, this person staying in India, how could he prepare an encyclopedia like this? They fascinated about the book. Right? So he had such a practical outlook towards life. That from his time, it will be 100 years. He's done a work for 100 years. So if you just listen to him, give him a chance, listen to his kitab, read a little bit, and digest it properly, I think it will be more than enough for you. So every dini aspect is covered. Aspects about mannerism, aspects about good character is covered. Right? Aspect about the tasawwuf and righteousness is covered. Stories of the pious is covered. Right? Apart from all that, he's also covered how to make achar. I don't know if the English one, got it. English one doesn't. Urdu one, how to make a chart. And Muri Ilyas talks about the cracks of the dad katai. That's there also. There. I don't know that the ladies like the story. Cracks. So, he's prepared it so well. Now, they both are sitting there in Lahore. I said, no. They're discussing. See what their discussions revolve around. See, now if we're sitting like this, then what about the hadith? Man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum. Resemble a people that you are like them. We're sitting on a table. Obviously, it's a resemblance to the west side. So we'll be counted as amongst them. Now what do we do? So Mawla says, he brings a point. See, once that muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala is the beast person, goes deep in your heart, then you're oblivious of the world. Then that thing begins to rule your life. See, it says, read the kitab, but diligently, focus, understand, digest it, think about it the whole day. One, two of your friends that come under your influence, discuss it with them. Not everybody, those that come under your influence, discuss it with them. So you're giving yourself a chance to reshape. So now see how they think. See that, you know, we don't want to resemble people. Why? Because the love of Allah Ta'ala has gone deep in the hearts. When it got deep in the hearts, then nothing else can fool them. So you give yourself a chance for Allah Ta'ala's love to penetrate your heart deeply, deeply. When that happens, then you're oblivious. Now, what he's going to say, what that person is going to say, that second, they're not worried about. So they came to the conclusion that we have to sit here, so what we'll do is, at least at some level, we'll oppose them, right? We'll oppose the general standard, the standard of the West. So what we'll do? We will not keep our feet on the ground. We'll fold it, keep it on top. and we will not keep the plate on the table, rather we'll have it on our hands. Although it may look strange to all the people around, but we, to the best of our ability, we are moved away from them. And this can only happen to the person whose heart is soaked in love. As I say, we are different, and these people are different. Their hearts were soaked. They were drowning in love. So their kitab, and it's my appeal. And nobody can say, well, in my town they're not doing it, so what stops you? To start it off, you see, or one day they're not doing it well. What stops you? Can read well. Or you know someone that can read well. Start it off nicely. Go in the site and start it off. Then they may tell you, or you do the kitab. Then you invite others. But it must be done so seriously. You doing it with dua, bringing Allah Ta'ala, that Allah must have the right effect on you and people, etc. With concentration you're doing it, both at home and in the masjid. Even at home also you're doing it seriously. Children, the wife, etc. So they're growing with a different mind. They're growing with a different understanding. They're growing with a different ethos. They're growing with different values. Now the values are different now. So you had the chance to do it. This morning I was explaining the same thing. See, the hadith says that you instruct your children to perform namaz at the age of 7. Right? So, what is the wisdom? What's the philosophy? See, the person becomes mature around 14, right? 13, 14, he becomes mature. So, if he'd been instructed to perform namaz at the age of 7, as though half of his life went to performing namaz. When half of his life went in performing namaz, so namaz became his nature. Now is it going to be easy for him to leave out namaz? Now it's his nature now. His eyes will just open up, yeah, I need to get in my namaz. He didn't perform his namaz, he feels very uneasy, very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. So there's a lot of wisdom in those kitabs. But the person who's reading the kitab, he can't leave namaz. He can't leave out jamaat. He can't perform, he can't leave the takbir ula. He won't do it. He won't leave out that first surf. He'll read the thing, understand. And at times he'll cry. This kitab here, the other part, this thing here. See what magnificent effect it took on that story we read yesterday at night. Yahya. Wahid. Abdul Wahid. And Malik in the Bina, Dinar. What happened to him? So these things are going to shape the mind, that yaqeen, the akhirat, that ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala will grow. Once that thing has grown, then everything falls in place. That ta'alluq, that relationship with Allah Ta'ala has to grow. Once that is grown, everything falls in place. Like, you got the seeds, you got the ground, right? For that plant to take on, you need that fertile rain, isn't it? If the rain is not there, does it take on? But everything falls in place. Good irrigation, good rain, high land, sand is right, the earth is right, and beautiful rain coming in. Then, now, if the rain is not there, can anything happen? So exactly the same, this kitab, this is what it does to our hearts, to our minds. Allah Akbar, all to me.